Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In a previous generation, how-to books were often bestsellers, instructing people on any number of practical and useful topics and life skills. Topics such as how to repair your car, how to succeed in business, how to win friends and influence people, how to balance the family budget. Now today you don't really have to buy a book or even really go to the library to learn about many of these topics. Just perform a simple internet search and all the information you need will be there at your fingertips. Maybe. Well, although we don't normally refer to the Bible in this way, you could say that the Bible is really an important collection of how-to books written by God Himself. The main message of the Bible could be entitled, How to Receive Eternal Life with God in Heaven. But other parts of the Bible could also be titled, How to Cope with Adversity and Hardship, How to Pray, How to React to Evil and Suffering, How to Treat the Needy. Jesus' words to us in our sermon text this morning from Luke chapter 12 could very well be titled, How to Live Successfully. Jesus begins his instruction by reminding his disciples at that time and reminding us today through these words that have been written down, Do not be afraid, little flock, because your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. What is that kingdom that Jesus is talking about? Well, he's not talking about an ordinary earthly kingdom which is susceptible to attack and invasion and conquest by other nations. Rather, he's talking about the eternal spiritual kingdom that he came to establish by his own suffering, death, and his triumphant resurrection. It's the kingdom that we pray about when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come. It's the kingdom that Jesus spoke about when he said to Pontius Pilate, My kingdom is not of this world. And notice that Jesus says, Your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. This kingdom is not something that we earn. Rather, it's a free gift from God to us. By the grace of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I have heard the good news of God's love for us through Jesus. And we have placed our hope of forgiveness and of eternal life with him in this promise. And so in this way, we have become members of this kingdom. God has given the kingdom to us. Sometimes Christians have been criticized by others in society for focusing too much on what happens after this life and not focusing enough on the things of this life, the things that are happening here and now all around us. And in one sense, that is correct. In our second lesson today, we see Abraham and Sarah and other heroes of faith in the Old Testament that they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And instead of putting all of their focus in this world and in this life, they were instead longing for a better land, a heavenly one. And the Apostle Paul also expressed this future focus of the Christian faith when he reminded the believers in the city of Philippi, Philippians chapter 3, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. And yet, even though there definitely is a future focus to the Christian faith, there are also immediate effects in our lives right here and now. Since we have that sure and certain hope of a perfect life of bliss when Jesus completely establishes his kingdom for us on the last day, right now we can be free from all fear. Just as Jesus told his disciples in that first verse of our sermon text. Do not be afraid, he said. He's saying, in essence, don't worry. Don't let the guilt of your sins make you doubt and wonder whether God really does love you, or whether you really will get into heaven when you die or when Jesus returns on the last day. Stop worrying. Don't be afraid. Be certain that God does love you, and you will get into heaven through faith in Jesus. Our first step, therefore, in living successfully is remembering that the kingdom is ours by God's free gift through Jesus. And the second piece of advice that Jesus gives for successful living is simply keep your values in life straight. Jesus says in our reading, sell your possessions and give to the needy. This doesn't mean that Christians absolutely have to sell everything that we have, get rid of all of our material possessions. But rather, as Jesus' following words after this statement indicate, it means that our material possessions, the things of this life, money and other things, should not be as important to us as spiritual treasures and our own personal spiritual well-being. As Jesus goes on to say, he says, provide money bags for yourselves that do not become old, a treasure in heaven that will not fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. It can be very easy for us to mix up the values and the priorities of things in this life. And so Jesus tells us to be prepared to sacrifice material, earthly things for the sake of our spiritual well-being and for the sake of the spiritual well-being of others around us and others in the world. Jesus reminds us, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So let's think about some practical applications of this truth. If a car, for example, becomes more important to us than our relationship with Jesus, then it might be hard, but it's time to get rid of that car. If membership on a sports team or in some other organization becomes more important to us than our membership in the church, then it's time to get out of that organization. Or if our job becomes more important to us than our commitment to Jesus, well, then it's time to find a different job. Our attitude must be, as Jesus tells us in this reading, and as he told us in the reading from our gospel last Sunday, life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Rather, according to Jesus, successful living is more than the clothes that we wear and the food that we eat. Sometimes God challenges us to put our faith on the line and to back up our words of commitment with actions in our lives. Jesus gave just that challenge on one occasion when a young man who thought that he was a model child of God, a model follower of God, Jesus challenged him to sell everything that he had, give the money from the proceeds of the sale to the poor, and then come and follow Jesus. And then we're told about that rich young man's response to Jesus' challenge. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. He simply couldn't pass the test. We are also tested at various times in our lives. As citizens of God's kingdom, we should be ready and willing to forfeit everything else rather than jeopardize our membership in this kingdom. That's the attitude that Martin Luther expressed in his famous Reformation hymn, A Mighty Fortress. In one stanza, he writes, and do what they will, that is, the enemies of God and of the gospel, the devil, and all those whom he uses to tempt us, do what they will, hate, steal, hurt, or kill. Though all may be gone, our victory is won. The kingdom's ours forever. Finally, successful living requires us to keep our eyes constantly focused on eternal life and to be prepared at all times for the second coming of our Savior Jesus or for our own personal end of life. And to illustrate this point, Jesus uses the example of servants waiting for their master's return. Jesus says, "Be like people waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him." That picture of preparation is described by Jesus with this admonition. He says, "Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning." In those days in the Middle East, people wore long robes as their outer garment. Maybe not quite as white and as crisp as this garment, but they wore long robes to keep themselves warm in the chill of the evening, even though it didn't really get super cold at that time. But when they wanted to go somewhere, when they needed to fight in battle or do some work, they would hitch up their robes and tie a rope around their waist so that they would be able to move freely and quickly. "Keep your lamps burning," Jesus says. And with those words, he reminds us of the parable that he told about the 10 young women, about the 5 wise and the 5 foolish young women. The 5 foolish ones didn't prepare extra oil as they were waiting for the bridegroom to come. They figured that either they didn't need it or that they would have enough time to get some more later on if they ran out. But the 5 wise ones prepared extra oil. And so when the bridegroom finally came at midnight, they were there ready and waiting because they had enough oil to keep their lamps burning until he arrived. But the 5 foolish maidens whose lamps ran out of oil, they had to go to the market or into the city to look for some. And by the time they got back, the bridegroom had already come and entered into the banquet hall, and the door was locked, and they were not allowed to enter in, because they were not there ready and waiting when the bridegroom arrived. And Jesus concluded that story by saying, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." In our reading today, Jesus uses similar words when he says, "Know this, if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. You also be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you are not expecting him." The last day of the world, or our own individual last days, will come without an announcement in advance. Yes, as Jesus says, there are signs happening already today and that have been happening for centuries before today that show us that the end is near and that it could come at any time. But other than those signs that we already see, there will be no other advance warning. So Jesus says, always be ready. Well, that brings up the question then, how can we be ready? What is it that makes us ready? As Jesus says, whether it's in the second or third watch of the night, around midnight, when normally everyone is sleeping, when we least expect it. Well, we are prepared. We are ready for the Lord's call, for his return on the last day, or for our own end of life, if we are spiritually alert and active. We're prepared, we are ready, not because of anything that we do, but simply by trusting in what Jesus has already done for us. We are ready by firmly believing that Jesus has paid for all of our sins by his death on the cross, and that he has given us his own righteousness in the sight of God the Father, as our own. There's a frequently used evangelism presentation that makes use of this rather challenging, rather personal question. It goes like this: if you were to die today or tonight, and you were standing before the judgment seat of God, and God asks you, "Why should I let you into heaven?" What would you say in response? Now, if you're not quite sure what to say, you're in good company, because probably even the majority of most Christians aren't sure how to answer that question. Now, many people would probably say, "Because I've tried to live a good life. I've done my best to follow all of God's commandments, and I know that God is merciful, so he'll be happy with my best effort." But God's word says that that answer only leads to hell. because he tells us in Isaiah chapter 64 that all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. And he tells us that only absolute perfection, perfect obedience all the time of all of God's commandments, not only in outward actions, but also in our words and our thoughts and attitudes and desires of our hearts, only perfect obedience is enough to earn our way into heaven. Rather, the correct answer to that question, why should I let you into heaven? You should let me into heaven, God, because Jesus died for my sins on the cross, and he gave me his perfect righteousness to be counted as my own. Now, of course, it's comforting to know that God the Father will not be putting us on trial on the last day and asking us that question as we stand before him, because God knows what is in our hearts. Through faith in Jesus as our Savior, on that last day, or on our own personal last day of our lives, God will simply welcome us into heaven at his side with open arms. Welcome us to receive the kingdom that he has prepared for us in his grace and mercy through his Son, Jesus, our Savior. That kingdom of perfect bliss that will far surpass even our wildest expectations. So finally, that will be the mark of a truly successful life. It isn't easy to live successfully. It requires meditation, spiritual nourishment, concentration, determination. But we can live successfully if we remember this how-to advice of Jesus in our text. Remember that the kingdom is ours already by God's free gift to us through Jesus. We remember to keep our values straight as God instructs us. And if we remember to be ready for the Lord's call, which could come at any time, by his grace, we are ready. To God alone be the glory. Amen.